All right. Well, let's see what we got here.
Is that a little bit too dim? No, that's actually pretty good.
No, it's good. I like it. Looks good. Welcome. How are you all out there in Facebook land?
Oh, my goodness. Look at them. Look. Hi. What's up? I didn't see you come in.
You just walked in the door.
Yeah, all just well. That's what we get for leaving the door open.
That's what we do. We do it for the cats, but then the real cats come in. You know what I'm saying?
Boom.
And bam. All right. So tonight, along with other little things that I figured you'd like this. This is Charlie Barnett presents a tribute to the great Harry James. This would be the official blending of both neon beat and neon jazz. This is definitely right up the avenue of what we do and how we do it. We just celebrated, did the voiceover for episode 592, and we are one day shy of the actual 8th anniversary. April 11th, 2011 was the very first day that I stepped into Signal Hall. You told me to bring a script in, and Neon Jazz was, as they say, officially born.
Now, for those of you that aren't quite remembering, Signal Hill in Kansas City was WDAF-TV, AM and FM, KY-102,
yeah,
top of the hill. Given that I am basically beneath my washroom in the garage, we have... next to the basement, we have dubbed it Signal Hole.
Yes.
So, by the way, I worked for those guys for a little while.
It's funny, and I didn't realize that until we hooked up and talked about it. That was where I had my internship. And at the time, I was doing pre- and post-game production work with the great Al Fitzmaurice and Steve Rinko. And I would go get them Hereford House during the breaks.
Yeah.
They did ads for them. And I would maybe get food, maybe a scrap here and there. But I remember Marty Wall used to come in, Skid Rody would come through, everybody came in that one room, and I was baptized in the radio arts. And I remember I used to go back in those studios. That was in the old school days where they had the tapes, and I was just like, wow.
Was this on Signal Hill?
Yeah, this was actual Signal Hill.
In
1992 or 3.
They were still over there. Yeah. Okay. And I hadn't arrived there just yet as an engineer.
Okay.
I worked there until 77.
Okay.
Or 70, just after 76, when Ross Reagan was programming the station, who would later go on to program KUDL 98.1. But I was there before they went country.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember
you want to date me a little bit. but yeah, Dan Henry, Charles Gray, Caroline Rooney, and all those, Jack Tobin, were all there.
Jack, I remember him. He did the news. Yep. He was the guy that was the smoking man in the corner, always talking about how the news was going to pan out. But it was good times over there. I learned a lot. And I remember, you know, just being able to talk, you know, baseball with those old players. And they would set me straight about things that I had no idea about, you know. And it was, in fact, I recently caught up with Al Fitzmaurice at one of the fan fests, and he vaguely remembered me, but we talked a little bit. He was just a cool guy. I mean, because when we were kids, baseball players are heroes. So at that point, when I got to work with them and talk with them, they were just people. You figured out that they just do what everybody else does.
Yeah.
You know, so they just have a different spin on things.
And of course, when people meet you, you just have to say the same thing. I'm just like you.
Yeah, we just talk.
We just talk. We enjoy the same things
that's
you
right.
do. Really.
That's
say
what
something
we do.
And DJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Free beer?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking, are we... So, let's do this real quick here. We just want to have a nice bed of music here, and we're going to do a little...
All right.
If you haven't heard Charlie Barnett... He knows
Charlie,
what he's doing.
Charlie Barnett was a big band lead. He'd been up through several of the big bands before going on to do his own. His signature song was I Can't Get Started, which came out around 1937, 38.
And ironically, he got started, and he hasn't stopped.
Oh, yeah.
He just kept going and going and going.
All right. Here we go.
Popcorn on Mars.
Yeah. Anytime, guys.
Come on. Strike up the band. 3.
Well, if he's tributing Harry, that's definitely Harry's style.
He's got it. He's got Harry down. Man, that's good. That's beautiful. So, being a little bit nostalgic here and talking about the beginnings of this show, I've had the opportunity to interview over 700-something jazz musicians over all these years. Yeah.
You were keeping track?
Yeah, well,
I'm glad somebody was, boy, you use a lot of their material as drops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's becoming a pretty big file.
It's too many files to talk about. But the beauty of today, for instance, I got a phone call from a jazz legend, Alvin Queen, from Switzerland.
Yep.
And we had a great talk today, and he was one of those guys, every musician has their own niche, but he was one of those guys that's been around for so long and is so profound that everything that he said was memorable.
Yeah.
And when we got to the very end, I don't know that he really orchestrated this. It's like improv talking to a guy like this, but he said this. At one point, he went up to Oscar Peterson. So his latest album is a tribute to OP, to Oscar Peterson, and he knew him and he was friends with him. And at one point, he went up to him and he said something along the lines of, "Why do they call you a genius? Like, what does that feel like to be called a genius?" And he said, "Son, come with me to my dressing room and close the door." So he didn't know what was going to happen. So they closed the door, and Oscar Peterson basically tells him, "The world has called me a genius. The world has dubbed me that because I'm so well known, and I am just a guy playing the piano, and that's what the world decided to call me." He said, "But at the end of the day, I'm the kind of cat that's just doing the best I can on the instrument I have." And he said, "More than that, you got to be humble. And if I had my druthers, I would talk to a homeless man more than anybody else in the world, because I know what I would get from that guy is real and true. And always remember that."
Yeah.
And just totally set his train straight.
By the way, I got to straighten something out here. Yeah. I thought after I said that about Charlie Barnett, as I open this thing up, anybody's already on there correcting me. That was wrong. I was thinking of Bunny Berrigan.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
37 was Bunny Berrigan. Charlie Barnett, you know, a little bit later on here.
We did that. We did that on purpose to see if you're paying attention.
To see if
you
were paying attention, yeah. I don't know why it would confuse him.
Yeah.
Other than maybe he was looking at the horn.
Oh, by the way, Ryan Heinlein, the fantastic Kansas City trombonist, was at the Black Dolphin last night leading his faithful and the Johnson County Community College Jazz Band. It was stellar. I've been wanting to catch him for a long time, hadn't had the opportunity, and it was a wonderful show. Great command, great audience. Black Dolphin's always a phenomenal place to see a live show. So if you need to, and you should get yourself out there to either the Green Lady or the Black Dolphin and do yourself a favor and just get whitewashed and baptized in that jazz. It's good stuff.
Yep. Some of the stuff that I incorporate into my own show, The Neon Beat, is actually done by the Billy May Orchestra or Glenn Gray in his Casa Loma Orchestra. Some of it by Harry James, and Benny Goodman, of these people that lasted into the age of hi-fi.
Yeah.
Glenn and his orchestra took on, I think, for Time Life Records, a series of stereo recordings recreating all the old masters.
Yeah.
Doing guys like James and Charlie Barnett, and even going back as far as Bix Beiderbecke.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff.
That's some early days. Yeah. Yeah, those box sets, those were beautiful things that you could get in the mail. I mean, the Time Life series and all of those catalogs that kids got. I hear a lot about those things, and they just opened up the Pandora's box of the jazz world.
A lot of people prefer and have said something to me about this. Says, "Why don't you just play the old cuts?" And, you know, right off, you know, the reconstituted 78s these days. And some of them are actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly going back to Bluebird.
Yeah.
And the OK labels. I don't even have a turntable that'll play them.
Yeah.
And I tend to, I have a tendency to play the latter recordings of the old stuff.
Yeah.
Because some of that stuff was absolutely dance floor, and one of the ways to experience the big band era was live.
Yeah.
And my dad and my mother had both done that during the war.
Man, if I could have gone back. That's always the question. Getting the Jazz DeLorean, punch the digits, where are you going to go? If I could just go down and see Count and Casey or Benny back in the day, Benny Moten and the boys, man, I don't even know what I would do. To hear that fresh, clean sound and just packed room. Man, I don't know.
Yeah, it's where I get the sense of neon.
Yeah.
And the era.
Totally.
Why I call my show what I do, and actually more fitting to you.
Yeah, with those hum and the hum and thrum of it. Yeah. That's it. It's romantic.
And the cigarette smoke.
That's right. And the whiskey shots and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, if you're at a garage sale, yes. I try, Bill. I go to garage sales as much as I can. In fact, right below me here, hold on.
Watch out. Wait. Yeah, you got to keep your head away from that microphone or it'll holler at you.
Right here, Mr. Bill Denny and everybody out there in Radio Land, I have an old neighbor in Liberty, for instance, that gets rid of a lot of albums, and I've given John Christopher milk crates. These are all below me right now. That fresh scent of
Larry Gatlin.
Yeah, there's Larry Gatlin. There's some jazz for you kids. But there's the headliners. I mean, there's boxes and boxes of music down here. Eddie Hayward. Howard, I'm sorry.
And those have been really helpful.
Yeah.
To try to branch out a little bit and get some of these original recordings. He even brought me a bunch of... careful
sorry,
there.
Guys. Okay.
You know, I needed Jackie Gleason. He came through for me.
Yeah. Well, Jackie Gleason, you know, that was one of my dad's favorite characters from The Honeymooners, and he was an eclectic cat. He was trying to get in touch with Nixon to figure out about... missions to the moon, and he was just fascinated with cosmology and space.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, no one knew that he had a jazz career. They all thought that he was kind of this big buffoony actor kind of guy, but he was a pretty deep cat, you know.
Yep.
So, he was, you know, he was Richard Pryor's dad, right? In the toy. So anyway, no, he had a long and storied career, but but at any rate,
that and played. One of those Smokey and the Bandit movies?
Yeah, he did the Smokey and the Bandits, yeah. And that's kind of the way he was. He was a pretty diverse guy when you broke it down.
Yeah.
Even with his roles that he did.
With his roles, he was trying to get somebody... I remember he was trying to keep Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis together.
Really?
Yeah. When they were talking about breaking up, Jackie spearheaded the guy. No, we need to keep these guys together.
Wow.
But you know how that came out.
Yeah. We know the rest of the story there, but
okay. Show 591 this week.
592.
592.
We're losing track. Sorry. Yeah. The 592.
Yeah, I'm keeping track of Charlie Barnett being Bunny Berrigan.
we're trying to keep everything straight.
Don't listen to me. Just listen to the music.
That's right. Just listen to the music, my friends. But again, this is Charlie, Harry. It just, we had to pull a little old school out on you, so.
There you are. I can always tell Harry when I hear him.
Yeah.
That nobody had, Harry had a lilt.
Right.
A signature lilt to that trumpet, which just came through. Man, that guy could hold a note.
It's just like with Miles. It's like that with all of these guys. You just know, it's them when you hear it.
Yep.
That's the
definition of the
voice.
I've gotten to where I can tell Lewis when I hear him.
Absolutely.
Of course, you know, Big Spiderbeck's easy because you just listen to the old recordings.
Yeah.
They just sound like, and they don't do him justice.
No.
From what they tell me.
Sounds like the guy with the recording equipment said, go as far away from me as you can and just start playing, and I'll see what I can get. So.
All right,
well, we're trying to get this thing queued up so that we can get to the true end of the song, so maybe we're lucky here. But with that... Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Did I say Charlie Spivak?
Yeah. See? We're doing it again. We got to get out of here before we start saying other things.
Before I give everybody the wrong impression.
All right, kids.
See you later. Enjoy
Have a good
the
night.
Jazz,
That's
friends.
Right. See you next
nice
time.
To talk to you.
Good luck.
Neon Jazz.